Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast for part two of our exercise and weight loss conversation with Erin. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk more about low impact versus high impact and how that affects women. We're also going to talk a little bit about rest days and why we need them, how they affect our body in positive ways. And we're going to talk about how exercise and strength training in general can help with your weight loss and why you need to consider it if you are on an overall health journey. Also, we're going to finish up with three fun question and answers from each of us, just different fun questions that we brought to the table on nutrition, weight loss, and fitness. So let's dive in. Okay, so that is a good segue into the next question that I had for you. So there is low impact and high impact. And I think some of what we've been talking about, or most of what we've been talking about, is like high impact, high intensity. Like, tell us, because bar is a low impact workout. Mm-hmm. So now, when I say low impact, no one be confused that like you're not going to feel the burn, okay? Like, our favorite thing to do is watch somebody's legs like shake when they're on the bar, because that, you know, they're burning, they're building, they're changing their muscles or whatever. But low impact is very different than, you know, what we just discussed with, like, you know, insane weightlifting mixed with burpees mixed with, so tell us the difference. Tell us like how they affect your body differently.
Okay, so with strength training, such as like CrossFit and, you know, strongman and just powerlifting in general, you're lifting heavier weights. And typically when you're training for it, it's lower reps, right? Mm-hmm. So heavier weights, lower reps. Bar is going to be lighter weights, higher reps. Mm-hmm. You're looking for that
consistent, like,
yeah, that state of contraction. Mm-hmm. You're getting that muscle to the point of fatigue, mm-hmm, where it's like, I'm done, peace out, like it's gonna start quivering. Mm-hmm. That's that shake that we talk about. Now strength training is more gonna be towards your building, and I hate to use the word bulking, but the more atrophy in your, mm-hmm, muscle, right? Bar is going to lengthen and tone, mm-hmm, because not only do you build it up with that atrophy, you also stretch it out. You get, right, all that lactic acid, right, out of those, you know, those working sections. So the low impact is going to be, you know, we're not going to do the box jumps. We're not going, right, to do the burpees. Now, mm-hmm, we may do ballet burpees, which are, mm-hmm, a little different, mm-hmm, still get that heart rate up, but, mm-hmm, we're going to do things that are softer on the joints that, right, are going to protect your joints. We do a lot of stability work in the joints, so that, you know, you don't go reaching for a glass and tear a rotator cuff.
Right.
You know, because you're tight.
So tight, yeah.
Yes. You're going to be able to reach your, you know, scratch your own back.
Right,
your
shoulders, literally.
So I think the misconception with bar, though, is that it's easy.
It's not easy, Lord.
It's not. Y'all, it's not easy.
Y'all, Erin comes to my class and cusses the whole time. And she is such a fit. No, but she is so, no, the point is, she just said she works out every day, maybe a couple times a day. Like, she's, mm-hmm, so into fitness. And so it's because you can challenge yourself above your own level, right?
Absolutely. It's like up to you to get to that point, right, where it's hard enough. Like, you can, it's crazy because we have, you know, you have a class of 10, mm-hmm, 4 are in their 60s, 3 are in their, you know, early 20s.
One might be pregnant.
One's,
you know,
pregnant. One has a spinal, you know, a spinal fusion.
Mm-hmm. So, like, shoulder, yes, injury. Yeah. So
and they're all in there doing the same exercise, mm-hmm, but at different levels.
Modifying, yeah, yes, and at different speeds. I am saying, if I say it, I say it once, I say it 100 times, it's not a race. You take it at your own pace, take it at your own speed. Because just because your neighbor is going so fast, well, yeah, sis, she may not, you know, be a couple months pregnant, or she may not have just had a shoulder surgery or whatever, you know.
Or she may be having a better day than,
that's,
you,
right, so that's,
what,
right.
Like, and that's what I've really pushed in the studio too, mm-hmm, like, and just in general with any of my clients, any, mm-hmm, of my personal training clients, any of the clients in the studio, you know, it's you. It's you, right.
You against you. And it's I really think the group fitness culture has lost that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, and I'm not going to blanket statement it, but I do think a lot of, especially the high intensity, you know, high weight, high rep, high, you know, push, 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 get your name on the leaderboard kind of group fitness atmospheres they've lost that concept of like, yeah, no, your neighbor may be menopausal or, you know, she may have, you know, had several surgeries already in her life. Like her body may literally just not function the way that yours does. So we are not competing against our sisters here. Yeah. We are with them. We are encouraging them to push it to their own limits, but that's it. Like we never will we ever put somebody's name on the leaderboard for the most
shame them for not being on the leaderboard, you know?
Because I think that that creates this mentality around group fitness that can be very off-putting. It can be very scary. And I think that is why so many people come to our studio and they stay, because it's like, oh, I'm getting a great workout and I'm making friends, but I'm also not leaving doubled over in pain because I tried to get three more reps than my friend next to me.
And here's the fun thing. You can go back the next day. Like,
right. That's
you
know, right.
Why are you doing an exercise if you can only go once or twice a week because you are so sore and you're so beat up? And I'm guilty of it too with Strongman. Like I kept doing it and literally we would only train Strongman 3 days a week. That's it. We would do two strength training days and an event day on Saturday. And on Saturdays, it was so demanding and draining. That was my whole Saturday. Like if I went and taught a bar class, I would go home and me and Daniel would fuel up and we'd get out in this cul-de-sac and we'd do our training. And then I'm trashed. Like I'm
I think that for you is like a competitive, like that's almost like a sport. It is a sport, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think there should be there's a difference between a sport and just like your basic mom trying to get some fitness in. And so yeah, you love that because it's your thing, you know. But me, I'm your basic mom just trying to get my fitness in. Like I don't want to feel like I go to
I realize that I'm in that era.
Right.
I am not.
This is our best era, babe. This is our best era. But I know that I don't want to feel like I have to walk. It took me I had to get like my kids lined up. I had to make sure I got my work situated, whatever, just to get to the door of the studio. I don't want to feel like the minute I walk in, I have to be on my game enough that I'm competing with everybody beside me.
Absolutely.
And so I just think that is, not saying that all high impact, high intensity gyms are this way, but I do think it's kind of, people kind of have that mindset about them. And I think that's what's so great about low impact is it's like, girl, we've done 15 shakes. Ain't nobody counting how many shakes you've done. You know what I mean?
It's a shell shock for a lot that walk in, you know, they're like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. I don't know what to expect. And I just tell them, I'm like, look, take breaks when you need here. Like jump out, take a second and jump back in whenever you're ready. Because like I said, there's a misconception around bar. And if you know me, you know, I like to sneak a little functional fitness and heavier weights in there. But you've got to find something that you truly enjoy and not just the exercise, but who you're doing it with, when you're doing it.
Right.
All the things.
Okay, so let's move on. We are pushing past my limit for sure of the time. I gave us a time limit, y'all. And
we can get on here and talk.
I try to do these time limits, and then I'm the one that's supposed to be directing this ship, and I'm like, oh, screw the time limit. Okay, so last one, though, and then we will, Okay, we're going to dive on to this one. I want to talk about real quick rest days, okay? So I think this is something you can cover real quick because we've kind of hit on it already. But why do people need to take rest days?
For your physical and mental well-being.
Right.
Like not only does your body need it, your muscles need it. Right. Everything needs it because when you get a good workout, like your dopamine, all the chemicals in your brain, all the hormones are working, you know, you're boosting your, everything's going, right? So when you drain it, you've got to recharge
it.
You can't talk on a dead cell phone.
Right.
You can't function with
minimal,
replenished. And this not only goes to just staying at home, sitting on the couch. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you can do something like walking. That's still resting. It's active recovery. You're stretching out your muscles. Yoga, great.
Yeah.
You do not have to lift heavy every single day. You will actually do more damage to your body
yes.
with that mentality.
I had a client recently who was exercising. Like, she was going to a high-intensity mm-hmm. place daily mm-hmm. and walking in the afternoon with, like, she was walking her dog, but I think she was also, like, taking a couple extra laps, okay? And she was staying within her weight loss calorie numbers. Mm-hmm. And, like, she was at a stall for months. And so, we, you know, people get us, they email us, and they're like, I'm at a stall. And we're like, give it a few more weeks, blah, blah, blah. Well, so then she gave it a few more weeks. And then we're like, okay, I need a rundown of your day. I need mm-hmm. to see exactly what she was doing. And then we saw the level of exercise. And I was like, sis, your hormones hate you. They are not releasing any extra fat right now. They are holding on to it all because you are so out of whack with your over-exercising. And so just that, yeah,
you know best, like electrolytes, just mm-hmm. something as simple as mm-hmm. salt and magnesium in your body.
Right, because, and I've talked about this on the podcast so many times before, but like if your body is not able to function well at normal, like at equilibrium, if you don't have all the vitamins you need, the minerals, the every macronutrient that you need, enough calorie intake that you need, like if your body at a baseline does not have those things, then like you are unable to make changes to your body. Your body will refuse to lose yep. fat. It will refuse to build muscle as efficiently. Mm-hmm. It will refuse to improve your performance across the board. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just taking the rest days alone gives your body time to heal, gives your muscles time to rebuild those little tears like we just talked about. Just gives you a beat. You know, everybody, a lot of people want to think more exercise the better, and that is not the case.
No. You can see just as many benefits or gains, if you mm-hmm. want, strength training 3 times a day yeah. and resting
3 times a week.
Or yes, three yes. Yeah. I knew I was about to have one. Right. You know, just, yeah, 3 times a week. You know, like you said, it's detrimental to your mental health mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Your physical health. Injuries happen so easily.
Especially out of exhaustion. Yes.
And I like to tell people, they come in like, oh, I got a shoulder injury. And I'm like, okay, you know, what are you doing outside of here? And they kind of thought, well, I'm just doing, you know, this. And I'm like, well, are you eating well?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, I had 2 bottles of wine last night. I'm like, okay. So you have a Lexus and you're putting, you know, diesel in there.
Yeah.
So
right.
Well, that's going to
right.
run.
Like, right.
Got to treat your body like a temple. You
right.
know? You've got to fuel it with the right things for it to run
right.
properly. And there's no secret trick. There is no easy way. There is no fast track to it. It's just plain, simple, boring nutrition and exercise.
That's right.
And finding a balance right. that works for you.
That's right. And so, yeah, that kind of leads me into my last, is just like pairing strength training and fitness in general with weight loss. Yeah, so we talked about it at the beginning. You know, it can be a little harder because, like we talked about, you're building muscle. You are, you know, you've got a little bit of water weight on there because you are, you know, building up those muscles, and then your body's trying to heal those little tears. And so a lot's going on in there. And so the scale may not always look how you want it to look, right? When you're trying to lose weight with exercise. But oh my gosh, my favorite are when I get clients who text me and they're like, please, like I haven't lost, you know, much weight, but look at these side-by-side pictures.
Yeah.
My scrubs are too big for me. Yeah. You know, like things like that. So,
or
the
your
scale.
Blood work. Like your,
oh, yes.
I've had clients come to me, scale has not moved. They feel fantastic. The doctor took them off of 4 medications.
Yes.
Like
yes.
it's the non-scale victories for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it the number on the scale, garbage. I had to tell one of my clients, I actually told her, I was like, you got to give your scale to your husband.
Right.
Make him hide it.
I like, used to do that.
You are literally making yourself hold on to more weight mm-hmm. by stressing out about mm-hmm. the weight coming off.
And so, and it's like, it's just a decision, right? Like you decide either I'm going to exercise along with, you know, trying to eat right and accept the fact that the scale may not, you know, drop approximately 1.5 pounds every week like yeah. you expect it to, but also trust the fact that you're building your muscles, you're doing better things for literally your entire body head to toe. Mm-hmm. Okay, you accept that
you're
or you
adding
don't.
Life onto
right.
your life.
Right.
You're adding longevity onto
I mean,
life.
And it's just one of those things. No, it's not going to be both. It's not going to be both. But a year from now, 6 months from now, you might look back on your pictures and be like, oh my gosh,
I'm glad I did it.
I know the scale only shows 10 pounds, you know, in 6 months, but look at the difference. Look physically at how different I look. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think finding also, you know, when you're going to a gym setting, or if you're finding a personal trainer or a registered dietitian to help you, finding somebody that listens to you. Because I've had a lot of people come to me lately, you know, they've worked with a personal trainer before, and they were told all they had to eat was white rice,
fish,
grilled chicken, and
green
broccoli.
Beans, yeah.
And I'm like, who wants to live like that? I had 3 brownies last night at dinner. Like, and it was great. I enjoyed them. But
because two at our age, who wants to live at our age specifically? I am not going to do that.
No,
you know, like maybe not. When I was in my 20s, like hitting the bar on the weekends, like I might, but I am not going to do that. I am not going to eat that way. But in two, a lot of personal trainers come from that like fitness model perspective of
body,
you know,
building,
yeah, like this is how you eat to like literally shred down. And like, sure, yeah, you can eat that way and you will shred down, but
we talked about it before, even with, you know, me doing strongman, like I've talked to you about my macros and you're like, I don't want to do your macros because it's not sustainable because I'm prepping for something, just like when you're looking, like I said, for a personal training person, you know, you're not prepping for a bodybuilding show. You're not prepping for a strongman show.
You're just trying to be fit.
I had clients, you know, what are you eating in a day? What supplements are you taking? You don't want to eat like I do. Mm-hmm. You will throw up. Like, it is a job to eat that much. So you really got to figure out what you want. You know, like what plan
what
do you
is
want?
Your
do you
end goal?
Want a sustainable way of living?
Right.
Because that's what I'm about now. Like, that's my jam.
And that's what 99% of people that come to me and you are about. But Erin, they are so used to seeing what the Instagram people that are also flexing their abs in their bikini are doing. You know what I mean? They truly deep down want a sustainable, somewhat like balanced life. But then they see in their eyeballs, they see what people who are chasing something far more. They are chasing a physique that is flawless. They are chasing, you know, an end goal that requires them to sacrifice enjoying their entire days. You know what I mean? And like, it's so you've got to decide. If your end goal is not to be a fitness model, stop following the freaking fitness models. You know what I mean? The end. Like, okay. So sorry. I got on a rant. Okay. So last thing, y'all, we're going to do a fun little Q&A thing. And then we're going to wrap this up. So I told Erin to bring me 3 fun questions to ask, and I'm going to do the same. Just questions about fitness or nutrition or whatever. And so, okay, my first one for you, I'll go first, Erin. What is your favorite splurge food?
Oh, let's see. Look, I love all food. I do not discriminate. You can ask my husband. I eat like a 250-pound strongman. I will tear up a burger and fries.
Yeah.
I will tear up pizza and wings and beer. You know, it depends really the mood. But I think one thing that I would eat every day for the rest of my life, cake.
Cake?
Cake. I love a good cake.
Like what flavor? Vanilla?
Red Velvet is my favorite, but I am
the same.
In my older years, I am learning, and this is awful. Like I should pick the protein,
no
right?
Way.
I should pick the red
meat.
No, we're going to pick the cake. So as I've gotten older, I love all cake. Carrot cake. I love it all. Red
that
velvet.
Is so funny.
I love a good cake, but I cannot describe it with the M word on the box. The sponginess.
The moisture.
I can't, but I love all things cake. And you know, it's like the more moist it is, the more I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I love a dense.
Oh my gosh. That is, cake is not my jam. Like I could just take it or leave it. I'm only going to have it if the icing is like homemade, like buttercream. I don't know why. I mean, I love a lot of sugary things, but cake for some reason is just not it for me.
Like the Kroger cake, I can't do that. You
know
what I'm
talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you want like a gourmet.
on the movie Matilda, that's my cake. That right
yes.
There.
Okay, I have a really good recipe. It's like a Matilda cake remake.
All
It takes some labor of love, but it's really good. And
the kids, it's a throwdown for that last piece of cake or cookie.
That is like, so funny.
Mama will win it. Mama needs that.
Okay, what's your question?
All right. What is the worst recipe you have made in the story behind it?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm talking.
Okay.
Hard no across the board.
Okay. So, and this is so fresh that it hurts my feelings still. Yeah. So, I'm assuming you're asking me about my own personal, like my business recipe. Okay. Because, I mean, I've made some other recipes from blogs and stuff that were garbage, but.
Your recipes, all the ones that I've tried, have been spot on.
The ones that you've tried have gone public because they are good. The ones that I fail at or that they don't know everybody, nobody ever sees them. No, nobody ever sees those. Okay, so I have had this. This was literally probably 6 months ago I attempted it. But it was in my brain for over a year. And so I'm so freaking frustrated even talking about it. Okay, so on Saturday mornings, my kids love cinnamon rolls. Mm-hmm. And so I make cinnamon, like Fridays at my house are donut Fridays, yeah. Okay? And then Saturdays are like cinnamon roll Saturdays. Okay, so I'm like, I know that if I'm like this, a lot of other families are this way. Like their kids want cinnamon rolls on the weekend. And so I'm like, in my head, I just had this idea of a cinnamon roll casserole, okay? Because if you turn it into a casserole, you get
cooked already.
You get a larger mass of the actual food item for like the same or less calories, okay? And for me, I was like, I'm going to put some eggs in it and, you know, bump that protein up too to like give it more of a balance, you know, because it's to have carbs, fat, and protein instead of just a whole bunch of carbs like cinnamon rolls do. Oh my gosh, I tried it. I have tried it every which way. I have tried it so many times. My poor children, like I woke them up the first time I tried it, I just knew it was going to be a hit. So I made it. I'm like, guess what? Mama's making something special. Blah, 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 blah. It was awful. It was awful, awful, awful. And so I've tried it several different ways since. And I don't know if... So since then, I've realized that I personally don't like a sweet casserole. Mm-hmm. So like a French toast casserole, I don't want it. Yeah. And so I don't know if it's just me personally, but something about having the egg in, like cooked in to the cinnamon roll mixture is freaking awful. And so like Glory is my only, you know, she's like, she'll just say, oh mama, yes, it's so good if it has any type of icing. Okay, Sarah Mason's my only true, just
first child. That's
yes, nice, yes, yeah. Sarah Mason's gonna tell me what's up, okay? And every time she's like, oh mama, no, this ain't it, you know, like every time. And so I'm like, you're right. And so I have not enjoyed it at all. Like this, all the times that I've tried it, I have not enjoyed it enough to share it with other people. And so I don't know, like, you know, you might would enjoy it, but I don't know, but I hate it. And so it's still in my, I have like a place where I keep all my recipe ideas inside one of our back end programs. And so like it's there and it haunts me and taunts me, but like it's probably never coming out, you know, just because I can't get behind it, whether I think anybody else would like it,
you know,
or not.
Some things though,
they're just meant to be,
just
you know,
leave them alone.
Yes. Just
put
leave
a little
them alone.
More sugar in there. Move on.
Just leave them alone. We're just going to eat.
We had
cinnamon rolls on Saturday, just straight up cinnamon rolls this weekend. So the end, you know what I mean? So, all right, your next question. Okay, so if there was one exercise you'd be happy to never do again, what is it?
Deadlifts, 110%. If you know me as a strength athlete, that is my weakest lift, and it's the most frustrating lift for me. Pressing comes easy. I don't know why.
That's insane.
I love a good squat.
You think it's because
squats.
You think it's because you had two babies, and maybe your core is just not like it's not gonna get back.
You know, I'm gonna blame every other thing. You know, I'm gonna blame everything. It's not me.
Yeah,
not
it's the weight.
It's the exercise. It's the no. But in all seriousness, my coach. He has dealt with a lot from me in my deadlift and trying to build it. And, you know, I've had back injuries and, you know, having two babies and, you know, when you lift heavy weights, your pelvic floor, you know, what happens when you bear down, you're going to,
right.
You know, so I think it might be all mental, really. Mm-hmm. I think it's in my head, you know, I don't want to be that athlete that, you know, pees on the platform when I, you know, and it happens though. Female athletes, like, we need to talk about it more, but it does. It happens. It happens to me. It's happened to a lot of people that I know. Like,
girl, them like.
Embarrassed about, but it's hard. It is hard not to be embarrassed because you know you got a crew coming up behind you with a mop and a bucket after you walk off the platform.
Have you told our ladies that? Because they're like, I'm gonna. We have Jumpin' Jacks in our warm up, and they're like, I'm gonna pee on myself.
Oh, I'm like, build those pelvic floors, ladies, jumping out, like, you know, put a diaper on and move on.
Yeah,
like, that's the life that I'm in. Like, just, it's not a big deal. It happens, but. It would 100% be deadlifts because okay. I, like, girls my size are lifting 300 plus pounds in the sport that I'm in. And I am stuck at, like, 280.
Yeah.
Stuck. And I don't, like, and it's really not that important to me anymore, to be honest, because my back feels great and I don't feel like trashing my back to get better at it.
Yeah. Okay. Net, your turn.
All right. Let's see. Your question is. We're going to get a little deep. As a girl mom, what is the one thing about health and fitness you want to instill to your girls as they get older and they get more exposed to life, to social media and all the influences?
So this has really been like a progressive thing for me just over the years. And I know that, like, Sarah Mason is 8, you know, and so I know that me and you, we aren't even there yet with what they're going to deal with, you know. I can imagine it's only going to get worse. But I think more than anything, I want to instill this idea in, taking care of your body, fueling your body, right, to feel good. Like, right now with both my kids, we have to have this conversation a lot about, you know, we just came off of a holiday and they ate, you know, would eat all this candy and then, like, wonder why they were so emotional or wonder why they became so tired all of a sudden and just wanted to sit around and watch TV or had a stomach ache. And so, we're teaching those things about fueling your body with healthy food so that your body responds in the way you want it to, right? Your body does it's the best that it can for you. But more than that, I think for the long haul, I really want to show my girls that your worth is not in your weight. Your worth is not in how you look in clothes. Your worth is not in how someone tells you, you know, your hair looks or your face looks or something's weird about you. I feel like I don't know if it's just our age group, but, you know, I work mainly with women like 25 to 60-ish, and it is all across the board one of the biggest struggles of my clients. Yes, they come to me at first to start losing weight, right? But then when they lose the weight and they realize they're empowered by the way they can lose weight and still enjoy foods and still enjoy their lives, then they take that next step of, okay, now why have I been the way I've been around food or around my weight or around my self-care and my self-love for so long? Like, what made me be this way? And for a lot of them, it's their mother. It's the way that they were raised. It's the culture they were raised in. Like, thin is everything. And we are still in that culture right now. And so I think watching these grown women undo these chains that they've had for so long around, like, worth and weight, just reminds me daily that I want to do my best to make sure that my kids know from the beginning, from their mother, that is not the case. And that's hard, Erin, because I am a dietitian teaching women how to lose weight. And so if you look at it from, you know, a faraway view, you know, who knows how someone who doesn't know exactly how I operate and how I teach, like, who knows how that could be viewed? And so especially with their little tiny, you know, they don't really give a rip about me, really, you know, right now. And so they probably just walk around saying, like, my mommy helps people lose weight. You know what I mean? And so I just pray that as they get older and understand what I do a little bit more, that they can grasp that, like, yeah, I do. I teach people how to lose weight, but more than anything, I teach them how to accept themselves where they are and then continue to better their health. You know what I mean? So, all right, your last question.
Oh no.
Okay. This one's so funny to me. What is your favorite type of playlist to exercise to?
Oh, okay. I am all over the board here. Okay. So when I am in a bar class, I want that techno. Yeah. I can find that beat and tuck to that beat. That's my jam. Now,
I hate a techno bar playlist.
Do you?
I do.
So do you hate all my classes?
No. No. I mean, I know I love your classes, but I hate a techno. I hate it. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, my head's going to explode.
Look, I got to find that beat. Like, mm-hmm. when you can find that.
It is easier to teach. Yes.
And,
yeah.
you know, if you skip a number, you're like, it's fine. I can just wait for the next beat. Like, when I lose track, it's great. Yeah, it helps me. Yeah. So when I am in the gym and I'm lifting some heavy weight, I want some hard rock music. Like, anything from AC/DC to Disturbed to my number one band.
This is not hard rock. Y'all, hold your breath. Hold your breath.
Nickelback. Y'all, my dreams were made this year. My husband took me to see Nickelback.
Oh my gosh. This is not hard rock. Nickelback is not hard rock. AC/DC would be so pissed right now if you just grouped them in with Nickelback.
Yes, and it's, the songs are so dirty. They are mm-hmm. awful. Do I want my children listening to them?
No.
But there is something about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here for it. I'm going to PR to this.
Yeah. You know? I mean, whatever, you know.
That's what gets me revved up. Cool.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. And so I think, you know, for me, it's like, I call it my hood rap music.
Yeah.
Like, it's like old school rap. You know, music. Like they're talking about doing drugs and
what you have on there one day? Danity Kane.
Yeah, Danity Kane. Yeah. So it's like I know these people that know me outside of bar are like, oh my gosh, Constance's playlist was so dirty today. But it just gets me pumped. And so I'm like, y'all gonna listen to it? I'm gonna listen to it.
And y'all know when she's feeling her playlist. She marches up and down that little catwalk.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, last question for me, and then we are out of here.
Last question. Let's see. Okay. We got... What is the hardest nutrition myth you face with your clients and how do you help change it?
Oh, this is a lot. But I think in this time, this day and time, I think we've heard it, you know, consistently enough that people like actually assume that it's correct. They just say it to me like it's common knowledge, like the sky is blue or, you know, grass is green and, you know, I try to eat high protein and low carb. I mean, those are, you know what I mean? Korean. Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, you know, and then you dig deeper and you're like, oh, you're like actually eating so much protein that you're peeing it out.
No carbs.
Your body's not functioning properly because you're not getting any carbs. So no wonder you're not shedding any fat, you know.
Energy drinks because you're tired.
Yes, yes. And so I think that is just the one we consistently face over and over. Sometimes we'll have new ladies that join our program. Mm-hmm. And Stacey will send them their, you know, macros. And they'll be like, are you sure you got this right? Because my carbs are at 45%. And we're like, we're sure. But then it's like if they trust the process and they accept it, then they're like, how did I live, you know, for so long? Like literally eating protein bars to get enough protein in because you cannot get that much protein in just by eating normal food. And then like, you know, depriving yourself of the things like cake or whatever you just mentioned. And so it's just kind of twisting their mindset of what, again, that high protein, low carb is like a fitness model way of eating. It's not a normal person.
What protein are you doing? Like, Daniel has a saying around our house, you know, shakes are for fakes. He hates a protein shake. It's not a good protein source. Now, at the end of the day,
if you have to,
like, or a snack, I tell my clients, like, do not replace your meals with a protein shake. Like, if you're hungry, take a protein shake. That's fine.
I have no evidence behind this. And Daniel might, but
my human Google.
I feel like your body, well, actually, I do know this. Your body metabolizes protein supplements differently than it does true protein foods.
Absolutely.
But I feel like because of all the added ingredients and stuff in it, to try to make it taste good or try to make the consistency right or whatever, I have noticed just kind of across the board with clients that if they are taking in more than one protein supplement a day, they are holding on to weight.
Yes.
It is some kind of fluid retention. It is some kind of refusal to like metabolize properly. Like, I don't know, cause I'm not a scientist, but the first thing we ask is like, okay, how much real food are you? Most of the time we say, send us your MyFitnessPal. Let me see what you're eating, because then we can pinpoint it like that. And so a lot of times if they're having a lot of people think they're doing so good with a protein shake for breakfast in the morning, and then they'll have like a protein bar for a snack or whatever. And it's just like, okay, you know, you've wasted those calories on, right, what Daniel said, fake stuff, you know, so.
And, you know, different sources of protein. Like eggs, chicken, salmon, red meat. People nowadays are like, oh, red meat gives you cancer and this and that. Well, you know, if you're tired and foggy and you're not hitting your protein intake, eat a little red meat. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, the iron, everything you get. Yeah, yeah.
That you get from that little steak.
Right, right. So, not every day. It's not an everyday habit. No, it's an every so often habit, and you should be just fine. You know,
it's all about balance.
Right, right. All right, we got anything else? I just heard the garage door open. That means my children are about to barrel up the stairs. All right, y'all. So thank y'all for joining us today on this episode with Erin about exercise and weight loss. I hope y'all have learned enough. I know I have. I know we talked a lot. I know we had a lot of good information. So until next time, y'all remember to say grace.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!